I hope and trust this morning as we come before you that our thoughts maybe are not too scattered about. Lot going on in my head these days, and I don't have any doubt that all the thoughts are from the Lord on the scriptures, but to focus in on exactly which one might be a little bit of a challenge for me this morning. But again, would trust that you would pray for me during the time that we try to stand before you. The Apostle Paul. And I will not go into to all the various places where he said this, but there's a number of different scriptures where, as he is closing out his letters to various churches, he's encouraging them to pray for him that as he travels and as he goes to various places, that the Lord would bless his efforts in those travels. I think in a place in the Colossian letter, the Apostle Paul, and I'll try to turn over there real quickly because I'm getting my fingers in about 40 different places this morning. But as he gets to the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians, he says as he's closing out, and I'll not try to go back and cover. You know, you're jumping into the middle of context of a letter that he's writing, but he's implored those people there, you know, to serve God and to serve God by serving those that they need to serve here. And so he's then imploring in the first verse of Colossians chapter 4, he says, "Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." And great reminder to us here that, you know, when you're working with people, you know, whether you're in a church or whether you're in a job or in business or whatever it might be, if you have responsibility to be over somebody else, he says, give to your servants that which is just and equal. In other words, be fair to them. Do what's right for them, and remember that you have a master in heaven too. You're not Lord omnipotent over those that you're trying to work with. He says, continue in prayer. Watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time, and so forth. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The Apostle Paul asked these people that they would be praying for him, that God would open a door of utterance. We'll be going to a place where we're asking God to ask us to give a door of utterance, not only in Africa, but as I mentioned in my prayer, as I've thought and meditated upon these things, I think many times while we travel to places like this, and not that we do it every week or every month or even once a year, we want God's blessing to be upon our thoughts, to direct us where we need to go. But you know, the same is true for us here at Zion's Rest Church. We need to be praying that God give us a door of utterance, that we might be able to go forth and declare God's word and speak it in our community. And that he would open the door. You know, if we try to open the door, we can work all day long trying to open a door, and we'll labor and labor and labor, and it'll be like butting our heads against the wall without success. But when God opens the door and shows us that he has opened the door, and then we have, through grace and faith, the courage to go through that door, God's kingdom can be declared and be profitable where God has opened up a way for it to be declared. I could go back and tell you, me and Brother Paul could both tell you this morning, how God opened a door originally in Africa through a man by the name of Obey. And how he came into the church at Vestavia as a Tanzanian man living in Birmingham, trying to go to Bible college and thinking he knew what the Bible was teaching, but coming into Vestavia and finding stories that he had read in the Bible and wondered what they meant, but finding yet a greater revelation in the things of how God was able to save that thief on the cross who never heard the word of God declared, but came to a place that day where he was changed and began to praise his Savior. I'll tell you, when God opens the door, it makes all the difference in the world. The Apostle Paul, John the Revelator, writes for us over in the book of Revelation in the third chapter, and he's got several different books, churches that he's writing to, as the angel of the Lord told him what to write and what to send to the messengers of those churches. And he says in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 3, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he which is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." This is the one that we're want to declare to you this morning. The one that is true. The one that is holy. The one that opens doors and you can't close it, my friends. That's the one we need to be praying to in our communities and in our areas. And as we think about traveling this coming week to Kenya and to Tanzania, I'm praying God opens up a door. Because if God opens a door, no man can shut the door. And he says, to the angel, write these things. He says, I know thy works. You know, God knows our works. He knows our lack of works. He knows what we do and what we don't do in our service to him. You know, we might can fool ourselves. We might can fool those that are around us sometimes. But God knows all about us. God knows what we do. He knows our upsittings and our downfallings. And so God knows exactly what we're doing in our service to him. Whether we're really serving him with a heart that's true, or whether we're putting on a show, or whatever might be. The Lord saw necessary to this church. And Philadelphia, by the way, of these churches here in Revelation 2 and 3, was probably one of the ones that was in better shape than many of them that the apostles John was given a message to here in this book. But he writes to them, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You know, God can take a little bit and make something great out of it. Right. He knows, he says, you have a little strength. But he says, but you know, but you've kept it. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. Boy, isn't that a condemnation, Brother Paul? What if we read this morning somewhere he says, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Primitive Baptists sometimes, and are not, you know. In other words, they're just claiming to be something that they're not. God says, I know who they are. They're evil over there at that place. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know I have loved thee. God is able to humble us down and humble people down. And we need to be praying that God give us a door. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them that dwell upon the earth. There was a time coming in the days of the church of Philadelphia that was going to try men's souls. I'm telling you that the time's coming for us. In America and around this world, there's coming a time that's going to try men's souls. He says, I will keep them from the hour of temptation that's come upon the world, and try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, God's given us a crown and a blessing that no man can take. And he's brought us into the kingdom. And he's given us a crown because we're kings and priests to him in the kingdom. And we're to be offering gifts and spiritual sacrifices to him in the kingdom. As we come here to this place this morning, and we think about what have we sacrificed? What have we done in our service to God? What have we laid aside this morning that we might better serve him? He's given us a crown, and no man can take your crown. Why? Because if God's blessed you, my friends, no man can take it from you. If he opens the door, no man can close it. He's given us a crown that no man can take. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and shall go in and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, plural. He's still giving us a message today. God's opening doors. God is able to open doors for you and me today that we might have an utterance, that we might be able to speak the things of the Word of God. I mentioned last Sunday, and I'll say it again because I'm not sure sometimes that we say this enough. We don't have to be gospel experts. We don't have to be doctrinal experts in everything to go around and tell other people what great things God has done for you and for me. We ought to have a song on our heart. We ought to have a joy about ourselves, knowing that as we look at this old world, we see things decaying. Probably every generation has looked back and said, it's more wicked today than it was in my parents' day. It's more wicked than it was in my grandparents' day. And I'll tell you, my children and my grandchildren, if the Lord doesn't come again, will look back and say the same thing. And that ought to cause us that look and see what's going on in this old world today, a heaviness in our heart. But we can have joy, and part of the joy that we can have is knowing this world is not our home. And when God gives us a crown in his kingdom, my friends, no man can take it from you. And we ought to be serving and living and doing and asking God to give us a door of utterance where we are. We turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I said I'm not going to hit all these places, but we'll hit some of them here this morning. 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, again writing to these churches, says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That ought to be our desire every day. That the word of the Lord might have free course and that might not be hindered. Now listen to what Paul was concerned and who he was concerned would hinder it. He said, I'll read again. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that they may be delivered, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men.
Right.
For all men have not faith. You know, one thing we... I want to be delivered to where God wants me to be delivered. I want to deliver the message to where he would open a door and where he would make it profitable, where he would make it be blessed. But all men have not faith. Some people would desire to do me and you great harm for going about and preaching the gospel. I love, and God will give me a memory to think of it, I'm going to be, till the time I go to my grave, I trust I will be blessed by the time we spent here going through the book of Acts. Because I saw, during that time of the book of Acts, I saw a man who worked from city to city, place to place, and in every town, everybody just loved him. They threw rocks at him. They chased him out of town. They stoned him. They beat him. And then he ends up over in Antioch. And what does he say, Brother Paul? Let's go back and check on all those cities where we've preached the gospel, where we've established churches. Paul wasn't concerned, although he had been run out kind of on a rail almost out of every town by unreasonable and wicked men. Paul still wanted to go back and confirm the gospel again to those who had received it with joy and happiness wherever he had been. As we look out on our journey here this week, you know, we go back to see, in some cases, we'll meet people we've never met before. We'll speak to congregations that have never been assembled before. But we're also going to go back and see people that we have seen before. I was thinking this morning about Brother Obey's sons. And about standing out in the Indian Ocean, baptizing those two young twins when we were over there on that first trip. They had to be 5 or 6, which means probably they're about 15, 16 now in age. I'm not going to recognize them like I did at one time, but I'm looking forward to seeing them again and confirming the gospel again to them, and that maybe in some way they might remember that man that came from far away some years ago to come and to preach the gospel to them. We didn't get to see them on our last trip over there because they were off in school, or my last trip over there, they were off in school. But I'm trusting that this time we'll have an opportunity to preach and to teach God's word to them once again, and that God may deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. because all men don't have faith. But when God has opened their hearts and born them again of the Spirit of God and implanted His faith down inside of them, I'll tell you, you've got somebody that's ready to hear the gospel message. We turn over to hopefully take a look at one other place. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians this morning. And I will read, we'll read the last first and the first last or whatever. You know, that's, anyway. We'll turn over to the 19th verse, the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says, and for me, let's go back and read the other bit. Verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, and to make the mystery, and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yes.
You know, that's the challenge for the gospel minister, and maybe for all of us to some extent, that we might know when to open our mouth, how to open our mouth, and that we might do it boldly.
Right.
Not boldly because of us. Boldly because of who we're representing and what He's done for us. As we look at this portion of this last portion of the sixth chapter, because I read the last first, so now we'll read the first last. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Brother Allen was talking this morning for just a minute about trying to give encouragement to his sister and to his brother-in-law, as they faced the heartache that they faced time after time. They've lost children through miscarriages. And so now, you know, they're reaching an age where they know except God opened a door, their window's getting short and getting shorter. So we pray for them. That God may open a door for them and that God would bless them. But he was trying to minister to them that God's grace is sufficient for our every need, and that when I'm weak, then am I strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in Charles. Don't be strong in Paul. Don't be strong in Derek or Adam or Bucky or others that are here in the congregation. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in God's Word. Be strong in what He gives you and brings to the table for you. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whatever age you are here this morning, Satan desires, as the Apostle Peter, I think, proclaimed it at one time. Satan is a roaring lion, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, desires to cause you and your families and your life problems. For young people, sometimes he attacks them with the allures of sex and drugs and alcohol and other things that sometimes might seem to be so important in their lives. But in many people, it brings about nothing but heartache, trouble, and sorrow. Sometimes it brings people children that they didn't want or weren't ready to have. And it just brings trouble in their lives. You know what? If you know how Satan tries to deceive you, you can be on better guard for what he's trying to do to your life. And sometimes the things of God's Word, as we look at it, it gives us so much insight to what we need to be having our guard up against. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Anybody ever watch the Roadrunner? Oh, Wile E. Coyote. He was wise in a lot of ways. He was sneaky. He was all the time sneaking around trying to find some way he was going to get the old Roadrunner and tear him up. But the old Wiley wasn't quite as wily as the Roadrunner was in many cases. We have an adversary in Satan who is wily. And he has his wiles as he goes about to try to deceive us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against powers of the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world. You know, not only do we face the troubles of Satan trying to sneak around and cause us problems, and the problems of the fact that, yes, this the flesh and the spirit are constantly warring against each other as a child of God, but then we have the power, the principalities and the powers of darkness of this world trying to bring us down, whether they're passing laws that cause more and more evil to come into this world, or whether they're trying to say, this is all right, we've passed a law in this nation that says it's okay to be this way. It doesn't matter what the laws of the nation say, for you and us as a child of God and our personal conduct, if what the law passes is against the word of God, God's word reigns supreme.
Amen.
So but we have the powers of the rulers of darkness that they're always trying to think what's right in their sight, what's right in the way the world thinks. And the trouble is, it's laying a trap many times for the children of God out here in this world to fall in and to get caught in and to start down a trail. You know, I was thinking of this. You know, you look across, you know, and is this the greatest evil in the world? I know it's not, but you think, look at all the states in the nation that we're living in today that have recently legalized marijuana. Well, you know, they say marijuana is just a portal a lot of times to something more, because the thrill gets gone with that, and then they start trying other drugs. But you know what they don't tell you and all that? You can legalize that stuff all you want to, but if you work for Alabama Power or Southern Company, it don't matter how legal, if they ever made it legal here in Alabama, if I show up at work with that stuff in my blood system, I'm gone.
Right.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. You say, oh, well, they've legalized it. It's legal. Well, it don't matter when it comes, you know, they've legalized alcohol. But you know what? I show up with blood alcohol content at work, I'm gone, okay? So, and the marijuana stuff stays in your bloodstream longer than alcohol does. And it affects your judgment and so forth of what you do. So, you know, all these things are the rulers of the power of darkness. They're just trying to bring you down, cause trouble, destroy your life. You say, I had a great job, but hey, it was legal and I did that. Now I don't have a job. So where did that get you? Nowhere at all. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't think, you know, that even during the Apostle Paul's day, they had rulers of Rome, rulers of the Roman Empire there in Israel that were wicked in high places in this old world. We've got it today too. So you set your life. You look at the examples. Do I call names? No, I don't call names this morning. You look at people and you say, this is the person, you know, that I'm, look at where they are and where they are in life and what they've done. Yeah, look how it's destroyed. I mean, we could go. You want to go to the Hollywood crew and look at how many of them are divorced and divorced and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and so forth. They got children from this wife and children from that wife and children, you know, and on and on and on. I said, boy, that sure is a messed up family. That's right. You got people trying to deceive us all over the world. Let's keep going. He says, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Okay, so you got all this going on. He says it's not going away. So what do you do about it? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. You know what the evil day is? Every day.
Right.
That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what makes all the difference for you and me in the world? You know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Right.
You need to know the truth of that fact that Jesus Christ died for you, that He died for your sins, that He set you free from the bondage of this old body, that He's given you a great hope that this world is not your home. I'll tell you, the truth makes all the difference in the world. The truth will set you free from the troubles and trials. What if you and I, let's go to a little simple truth this morning, which is not all so simple. Charles has got to hurry up. When we think about death, what if you didn't know that there was a life after, if there was a home in heaven after this life? What if you had loved ones that die? You know what? There's people that don't know that, and they sorrow their eyes out, and they don't know that our lives are in the hands of a sovereign, almighty God who chose a people before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And they look at their loved ones or other things that are going on, and they mourn and they sorrow because they don't have a hope beyond this life. The truth, my friends, will set you free. It won't make all troubles not happen, but it will help you to be able to handle the troubles when they do happen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what? Let your walk be peaceful, but go around. You know, Teddy Roosevelt probably didn't get this from here, but he could have walk softly. Yeah, walk softly and carry a big stick. You know, he says, you know what you need to do? Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let your walk be peaceful. But you know what? While you're doing that, go around with your loins girt about with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God with you. Be armed and be ready, because Satan is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. But don't you be going around acting like a bully in a bull in a china shop, because you know what God has done for you. And don't you bully other people about it. You go around being peaceful and joyful and happy in the Lord with all that He's done for you. Above all, take the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Pray. Be prepared. Be shod with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Have your feet shod with the gospel, the gospel of peace in this old world. But you know what? Pray. Amen. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray God opens us a door. I want a door opened up for our church. Great. Maybe it's a door just for you. Maybe it's a door you can walk through and speak to one person and talk to one person and make a difference in their life by telling them the great story of what God has personally done for you and what He's delivered you from, and what by His grace He's delivered you unto. May God bless you and pray for us as we go about to take this journey this week. And we'll be praying for you and for one another in our absence. And so with all that, we say amen.